God is from eternity full of want, or else he would not be full of treasure. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The mystical poet Thomas Traherne, whose short life as a clergyman ended in 1674, when he died of a bout of smallpox at the age of 37, is celebrated as a poet of blessings, as a possessor of a kind of childlike vision. He was not particularly famous in his lifetime. His background was fairly modest. He was remembered not so much for his writing as for his optimistic outlook, his sociability, and his tendency to give more money to the poor than he could well afford. He published very little. The work for which he is best known today, the mystical prose called Centuries of Meditations, was discovered by chance in a wheelbarrow of trash in the 1890s and initially attributed to another writer. Other unpublished work has surfaced since, discovered by the scholar Jeremy Moore when sheltering from the rain in Lambeth Palace Library. More may be hidden in their uncatalogued manuscripts. Some has undoubtedly gone to lighting fires. Traherne did not expect to be remembered. But we celebrate him this evening as a major mystical writer and a poet of metaphysical verse, as someone who angles the bright flame of human possibility against the dark political landscape of his times, and as someone who was audaciously willing to imagine the demands of intimacy with God. He was not straightforwardly an optimist. His apparently simple faith and fidelity were willed and created with intent. They were not an artless expression of some stuff he happened to be thinking. To be sensible of one's blessings was a duty and a discipline, rather than an unwilled gift. For, he wrote, to have blessings and not to prize them is worse than to be in hell. It is more vicious and more irrational. He prized the lamp of reason. Traherne writes of and about longing. He sees very clearly that longing is in its very incompleteness both a gift and a fulfillment, a bridge out of the rule of time, the thing which joins now to not yet. In the little passage that you have on your service sheets, he does the very cheeky thing, theologically, of imagining God as a person who wants, who is in a condition which means both lacking something and yearning for something. Without want, he says, God could not love or make or expect or mourn. He could not contain within himself possibility. In Traherne's mental landscape, God's wants contain all desire. So what? Well, imagining the qualities of God is more than a parlor game. It is a way of thinking about our own relationship to being human. That is to say, our relationship to being creatures who have minds and imaginations that extend beyond what we can immediately touch or see or possess, beyond the short spans of our own lives and the tragic limitations of our capacities to love. When Traherne sees want in God, he sees desire itself as the place where we meet God, in the gap between what we look towards and what we actually possess. Traherne tells us that our main blessing is that we are not gods. He tells us that attempts endlessly to sate desires will make us miserable, and that leaving the space for the things we do not control or cannot have makes us fortunate. It is a striking message for modern human communities choking to death on the flood tides of consumer goods, or misled by a procession of short-term pleasures, which seem strangely yet intimately linked to the experience of disappointment. Remember that you are a creature, says the God of Isaiah. Remember that your control over the things you are and the things you make is limited, as the control of a father over the qualities of his child, or a mother over the character of the baby she bears in labor. Remember that the future is open rather than closed, that you don't know what it contains, and that not knowing is a blessing of its own. The unexpected falls like rain on thirsty ground and makes things grow. It is a discipline to remember this. Possibility is neither forever nor instant, wrote the black feminist poet Audre Lorde in 1977. It is not easy to sustain belief in its efficacy. But she might agree with Traherne that it is utterly necessary. So the way to God is not through stuff, it is through want. If any want to become my followers, said Jesus to those who clamored after him, asking for their heart's desires, let them deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You find your joy not in hoarding, but in spending the self, not in acquisition, but in allowing some stuff to remain out of reach. You make the space for longing, and God fills it with unexpected gifts. Traherne put his case better than I possibly can. In his poem called Desire, he praises God for giving him a longing which reaches beyond material satisfactions and takes him towards the love of the heavens. I finish with its opening verse, addressed to the God in whose want all our wants are satisfied. For giving me desire, an eager thirst, a burning, ardent fire, a virgin infant flame, a love with which into the world I came, an inward, hidden, heavenly love, which in my soul did work and move, and ever, ever me inflame with restless longing, heavenly avarice that never could be satisfied, that did incessantly a paradise unknown suggest, and something undescribed discern and bear me to it. Be thy name forever praised by me. Amen.